Morning, church. Morning. And morning also to those watching online. You know, before I share the word for this morning, I want to encourage us, don't let COVID, all right, the changes, situation, to affect the way we worship God. Yeah? Let's remain faithful to the Lord and keep our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Our God is good. He's able. Well, you're not very convincing this morning, you know. Let's do it again. Our God is good and He's able. Amen. Let's give a Lord a clap for Him, all right? Praise God. Yeah. You know, I want us to be very excited, okay? As what Pastor Carla shared earlier. You know, whatever circumstances we will go through, but we must remember who our God is, all right? In spite of challenges that we face in our life, God is with us. And that matters the most, yeah? Last week, our senior pastor shared with us on how Peter, right, stepped out of the boat and walked on water. Remember that? And my son got so inspired by his message, he decided to give a try last week. And so after many fallings, finally, he make it and stand on water. Do you believe or not? You don't believe, right? So that's why I got a picture to show you. I'll show you a picture, okay? Yeah, he make it, right? Praise the Lord for that, okay? At least he has the courage, yeah? He has the courage now. There were three important women in my life, right? My mother, wonderful lady, my amazing daughter, sweet and lovely, and of course, my wife, all right? Beautiful, and I want to thank God for these three very important women in my life because they never give up on me and who don't expect perfection from me. And most importantly, they stand faithfully by my side. And I thank God for the three of them. You know, the Bible does not just have many great men who are faithful and godly. There are also many incredible stories of women who are wise, courageous, God-fearing, who changed the course of history forever. In fact, in the book of Acts, we have many capable and solid women. Women like Tabitha, who devoted her time and her own resources to support the poor and reach out to the widow. And we have Mary, the mother of John Mark, was a wealthy woman, a very generous one, who always opened her house for meeting and gathering. And then we also got Priscilla, who taught the Apollo, you know, who is a very good preacher, and taught him how to share the gospel properly. And Priscilla was also a very successful businesswoman, highly educated and capable. And so there are many wonderful women in our Bibles. And by the way, we'll be going through a sermon series on the book of Acts. Next week, our senior pastor will give us an introduction about the book. So I'm giving us a heads up, alright? Start reading the book of Acts now, alright? So we're going to be together in this journey to read and understand and hear what the Lord has to say to us through the book of Acts. So make sure you read the book now. As I mentioned earlier, there are indeed many, many marvelous women in the Bible. And one of such women is Queen Esther. So today, this morning, we're going to look at the book of the book of Esther, okay? Yeah. And if the Bible, turn to me to Esther chapter 9. Says that, so they called this day Purim, after the name Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, what they have seen concerning this matter, and what had happened to them, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants and all who would join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year according to the written instructions and according to the prescribed time, that this day should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. So till today, Jews around the world still celebrate Purim. Why they celebrate Purim? Purim is a day or 2 days of celebration to remember, commemorate of how God, through Mordecai and Queen Esther, give them victory over Haman, who planned to kill all the Jews. But this morning or today, we are not going to celebrate Purim. Today, we want to celebrate Mother's Day. Yeah? So may I have all the mothers here, alright, to put up your hands. And so those are watching online, I cannot see your hand, but I want to acknowledge you. Would you put up your hand so that we can honor you, right? All the mothers, I'm sure there are many. Yeah, look at all this. Let's give them a round of applause, a big one, shall we? Thank you to all the mothers. Thank you for your sacrificial love. And thank you for your faithfulness to the family. Shall we just pray for them, alright? Let's pray for them right now. Dear God, we want to thank you for each mother. Those who are here and those who are watching online, we want to thank you for their love, self-sacrificial love. Their love for the family, their love for their husband, their love for the children. And many of them, Lord, they not just that they have to serve in a family, but they also have their work outside. And sometimes, Lord, it's a challenge for them. It's a strain to them. But Lord, we believe in you and we pray that you will give each one of them your rest, empower them to nurture your children in the way you desire. And may you grant every desire of their hearts. And we ask, Lord, bless all the special women today who have borne us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's give our mother another round of applause, right? Thank God for all of you. Yeah? So Esther is not a mother yet, alright? But she is a godly woman. So who is Queen Esther? What's her background? Before she became a queen, she was an orphan. And Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful. When her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. Now we have no clue who Esther's parents were. But Mordecai, her uncle, adopted her, loved her as though she was his own daughter. But nobody, no one would have thought an orphan like Esther, a nobody in the eyes of many people, would become the queen of Persia one day. Vashti was the first queen of Persia, but she humiliated the king when she refused to accept the invitation to present herself, to display her beauty before the king's subjects, all right, during the feast. To her, she felt insulted because how could she be seen as a display subject? And because she embarrassed the king in front of the officers, the subject, and this made the king very angry with her. And the king punished her by removing her position as queen. But interestingly, after that, he regretted, right? Says that after this thing, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus, alright, very hard to pronounce his name, Ahasuerus, alright, subsided, he remembered Vashti, what she had done and what had been decreed against her. Then the king's servant who attended him said, let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king, and let the young woman who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. This thing pleased the king, and he did so. So this is how Esther was chosen to succeed Queen Vashti. Your background, your age, your past cannot stop God from using you. As long as you are willing and avail yourself, God is able to use you to do great things. Do you come to church this morning feel like you're nobody? Do you feel like you're an orphan? Do you feel like, you know, I'm someone unqualified to serve God? I'm someone unworthy, you know, to be used by God. Do you ever have this feeling that you feel that you are not good enough? And I hope that this message will bring you hope and joy. That in the eyes of God, God can use anyone. despite of your age, despite of background, God can use you as long as you are willing. God does not need you to have a perfect background. In fact, He chose the nobodies. When I think about nobody, I'll think of these songs that many years ago was very popular from Korea, if you still remember. I want nobody, nobody but you. I remember that song, right? I still remember that song, right? I want nobody, nobody but you. And I feel God is saying to you also, right? You feel you're nobody, but God wants you. Right? So in the world, alright, you may feel like Esther. Who is Esther? Can Esther really do big things? But God used Esther, who is a nobody then in the eyes of God, or in the eyes of the world, to accomplish His mission. And there is a reason, so that no man and woman would boast in the presence of God. And we know this because in Corinthians, Paul said, "For God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." The world see Esther as orphan, but God saw the potential in her. He see what the world cannot see. Yes, even this morning as God look at us, He can see all our weaknesses. But I want us to remember, as God can see our weaknesses, God can also see the potential in you. Nobody thought God would call Peter, an impulsive and unpolished fisherman, to be His disciple. No one really cares about Peter then. But Jesus saw the potential in this man. He trains him, He teaches him, He prays for him, and He loves him. Most importantly, God uses you because He values you. You are not an object for display, like how the king treated Queen Vashti. In the eyes of Queen Vashti, in the eyes of the king, Queen Vashti is just an object of beauty. But you are not that in the eyes of God. You are the object of His love. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are the object of God's love." Esther was beautiful, but it was not her beauty that made her the queen. It is God's favor that she became the queen. Now, when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter to go into the king, she requested nothing but what Hegai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the woman, advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. The king loved Esther more than all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So Esther was beautiful. That's what the scriptures say. But so are the rest. Because only the beautiful woman in the land are to be brought into the palace. So all who were there, they were all beautiful. And when most women dress up trying to impress the king, Esther didn't carry anything extra except what Hegai eunuch requested. And the Bible said to us, in spite of all this, yet Esther still stands out from the rest. Everyone who sees her like her. The king loved her more than all the women, not just because of her beauty, but because God's favor surround her like a sun. She became the queen of Persia because she obtained favor in the sight of God. When you have God's favor, He will cause you to accomplish what you could not accomplish on your own. But God promoted Esther to be the queen for a reason. So Esther became the queen of Persia for a purpose. Because sometimes later, the king appointed Haman as his second man in charge, someone that king trusted a lot. And somehow, there's a history, all right, which we'll not go into it today, that Haman hated the Jewish people. And he hated them so much that he planned a scheme that intended to wipe out all the Jews. So, after hearing the news of what Haman is going to do to the community, Mordecai sends word to Esther and asks her to do something for her people, and requesting Esther to do something for the people and save the people, because if she did nothing, she and her people will die. And at that point, Esther is the best person to save the people because of her favored position as queen. And that's why Mordecai said to Esther, "Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" So in Mordecai's heart, he really believed that God had promoted Esther to this position as a queen for this specific purpose of saving her people. My first miracle was not becoming a national badminton player. My first miracle was helping a junior college school to win their very first inter-school badminton championship in Singapore, because their school had never won any title at all. And to me, it's a miracle, and to me, it is impossible for me then, because it was my first school that I coached. In other words, I was still a very young coach and inexperienced. In fact, no experience at all, because it was my first school. But how did God help me to bring the school and win the title? So to win the game, I needed 3 points out of 5 points. So there are 5 games to play. I need to win at least 3 games. And I only have 3 points because that is my best point. The other two, I have no confidence. So in other words to say, my stronger players must always meet the stronger player of the other school. If happened that one of my second best meet their first best, that's it for my school. So in other words to say, the lines up are very, very important. Who I put become very, very critical. So I must always pray for wisdom and ask God to help me to decide who should play first, second, and third. But you won't believe it. You won't believe it, because I always get the lines up right. All the way to the final, that we won the title. And after we won the championship, the other school came to me and said to me that, "How come I know their lines up? They really thought that I got a spice in their school." And that's what they were really thinking. You know, but deep in my heart, as I look at the success, I knew it is God's favor. It is really the favor of God that helped me to achieve the success. But He has a purpose for that success. Because after that, I realized that after I won the championship, I was invited to coach another school, St. Joseph Institution. And through coaching that school, many of the players, the students, came to know the Lord and started, and that's how we started our first youth ministry in my previous church. God is good, right? Guess, let's give a lot of clap for Him. Give the glory to the Lord, all right? Really, it's by His grace. And I realize that God has given me the success so that I may reach out to these students and glorify His name. Maybe some of us, God has just give you a promotion. Maybe some of us, the Lord expanded your capacity in your work and you feel overwhelmed by what is given to you. And I want to say to you that if God has given you that position, that's because there is a purpose. Maybe what you should do is to ask God, what is that purpose, and seek God. 2 years ago, probably 2 or 3 years ago, I remember our senior pastor, Pastor Daniel, already shared with us about his vision with the staff. He shared with us about it's time to plant a church in Jurong. And by that time, we were not so ready. We were not so ready because, first of all, it's the place. The place is not ready. Secondly, it's the finance. Where to get the money? But God has favored us. In case some of us, this is your first time that you hear about this, right? There's a plan that we want to plant a church in Jurong. And, But now, God has provided us a place. Most importantly, also finance. So what is the purpose? Why God is showing us the favor? I believe that God is getting Church Our Savior to be ready to do His new work in Jurong. I believe Jurong is our Macedonia calling. I believe God is doing something in Jurong town. We may not know what it is now. We can pray and seek God, but definitely God is doing something. And His provision of the place, the finance and the resources, I believe God is saying to Church Our Savior, because many of us might have questions. How to do it? What should we do? Are we ready to do it? But I believe God has prepared the place and resources for us to tell us, be strong and courageous, because He is our provider. All we need is to have faith in Him and walk with Him and pray and seek God. I've seen how the Lord blessed my wife over the years, from where she was to where she is today, how the Lord has been expanding her portfolio and promoting her, all right, to her position today. And so whenever she experienced a promotion or somehow the company expanded her capacity, it is my duty as a husband and also as a pastor to remind my wife. So I will gently tell my wife, dear, I want you to know that when God promotes you, there is a purpose. And so what is that purpose? And the purpose is for you to share your bonus with me, right? But seriously, God lately expanded her capacity again in her workplace, and she felt overwhelmed. But I encouraged her to seek God. And I said to her, this is not something that you want, but it was given to you. Because it was given to you, therefore, I believe God has a purpose. Rather than focusing on the capacity of the work or the stress it might be going through, I encourage my wife, focus on God's purpose. Focus on where God is leading you, rather than focusing on the rough water. But what is the meaning of God's favor? Favor is not the same as love. God loves everyone. God loves you, God loves me. God loves Abel, God loves Cain. But He favored Abel, because Abel did what is right. So God's favor means His presence. And isn't that true in our life? All we need is the presence of God with us. When we have God, we have everything. And so Esther was successful because the Lord was with her. In Psalms 84 verse 11 says that, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good things does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. So Esther had God's favor because she walked closely to the Lord. And Esther has God's favor also because she learned to respect those who are in authority over her life. She learned to respect her father or her uncle Mordecai. And she learned to respect eunuch. She took the advice from eunuch, and she learned to serve the king, her husband, in humility. So when we humble ourselves before God and others, we will find favor with God and with people. But favor does not mean you won't have to go through problems, challenges in life. And if you're suffering today, may I remind you, it does not mean you are out of God's favor. Esther found favor in the sight of God, but it did not free her from challenges and her life at risk. And so by having the favor of God, she was not excused from all those trials and stress that she has to face through. There's no denying that Esther was a woman in God's favor. She was a successful king. She was loved by her uncle, favored by the king, and saved the people. But we must not forget also, she was also an orphan. Her background. She was taken by force to the palace, was forced to marry to someone that she doesn't love. And even after she became the queen, and she knew about the Haman's plan, the plan to kill all the Jews, she had to risk her life to meet the king. Why does she have to risk her life to meet the king? Because the king had not visited her for 30 days. Maybe the king has lost that favor on her. Or maybe their relationship had turned cold. But we do not know the reason why. But she has not seen the king for 30 days. The only way for her to meet the king is that she has to meet the king in the court uninvited. And so she has to take the initiative and to meet the king at where he is. But there's a law by the Persia that if anyone to meet the king without the king's permission, the penalty is death. So she had to risk her life. Even if the king is willing to meet her, she is still at risk because she had been hiding her Jewish identity from the king. So this is a die-die situation for her. It is a situation, die-die situation for her unless the king show her mercy or she found favor in the sight of the king. But she just had to do it. She just had to do it because it is a life of death situation for her people. And she could not let Haman have his way through. Just because she wanted to protect herself, just because she wanted to protect her life, that would be very, very selfish. So God's favor did not free Esther from stress and challenges. Nevertheless, Esther did something very, very wise. Something that we should learn. She humbled herself, bent her knees, and prayed. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and pray and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Then on the third day, Esther took on her royal robes and stood in the inner courts of the king's palace across from the king's house while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house facing the entrance of the house. I want you to imagine with me a little bit, alright? It's not just that simple that queen put on the robe and then walk to the king. If you are Queen Esther today, knowing your today might be your last day, what will be in your mind? I think she might be trembling, might be a lot of things going through. Her emotion, you know, is king going to kill me today? Am I going to die today? You know, a lot of things, a lot of fear is going through. Maybe some of us here this morning, you're going through the same situation like Queen Esther. Is this something bad going to happen to me? But Queen Esther found her courage in the Lord. And she said, "Lord, if this is your will, then let it be done." Even she has to give up her life. But interestingly, because of God's favor, on the, you know, that when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther was near and touched the top of the scepter, and the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom." Wow. Right. Queen Esther actually just wanted to meet the king, but ended up the king found favor in her and even asked her, "What do you want? What is your request?" And then she said, "If it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him." And we see again the favor of God is upon Esther. And because God's favor is upon her, God helped her to find favor with the king. And that's the power of prayer. The Bible says when you clothe with humility, pray and seek God. If you are in Esther's situation right now, whether it's your workplace, whether it's your relationship, whether it's home, seek God and pray. Humble yourself before God and pray. And He will lift you up to a good place and the right time. Because God receives the proud, but gives grace and favor to humble people. When you are in that situation, all you need is the favor of God. Last week, I went to pray for our church members because their father went into coma for a few days already because of bleeding in the brain. Sounds very familiar as what Pastor Daniel shared with us a few weeks ago, right? And so the doctor didn't want to opt for surgery because of his age and health condition. And so he had not regained his consciousness since he was awarded. So when I was there, I remember our senior pastor experience. Pray properly. So I said to the Lord, you know, Lord, teach me how to pray properly. All right. And so I closed my eyes. I said, Lord, teach me how to pray. So I bent my back and towards his ear. Now he was lying straight, right? So unconscious in coma. So I bent to his ear and then I say, Kyo ya so emia! Uncle, kyo ya so emia! No, I say that because he can only understand Hokkien, alright? Now, that is dialect Hokkien. But English means call the name of Jesus, alright? But because he only understand Hokkien, so I said, call ya so emia, uncle! Call ya so. And suddenly, he turned his head towards me and then started to want to make noise and want to say something. I got a shock. So I could understand our senior pastor experience, you know? Because at that point, I don't want to be the person after ask him to call the name of Jesus, and then the next thing is, how am I going to answer to our church member? So I was really shocked when his head turned to me and trying to respond. So I asked his daughter, is this the first time? You say, yeah, it's the first time that he turned his head and tried to respond. So at that point, I don't know whether, you know, I really thank God for that, but I still was in shock, you know. But I give glory to God that God does hear our prayer. Amen. Let's give a Lord a clap offering, all right? Yeah. I don't know what you're going through in life, okay? But I just want you to give up praying, right? And keep praying. And I just got the latest information from the family members, and that's what she said to me through a text. She said that my dad's condition is stable. He's moving his body more and his eyes open a little. He moves when we talk to him, pray for him and read the Bible. Sometimes he makes some noise. Amen. Amen. God is good, right? Wow. You know, I just realized that I got half anointing from our senior pastor. Okay. And most importantly, there's power also praying in Jesus' name in Hokkien. Yeah. So I want to encourage you, those who are watching online, those who are here today, don't just pray for the sake of praying. You're going through something, keep praying. And pray in faith. Pray till you see breakthrough. Just like Esther and her people, they pray till they see breakthrough on the third day. And gather people to pray along with you. Don't just pray on your own. Get the people to pray along with you. And so Esther and her people, they prayed till they see breakthrough. And she prayed for 3 days before she went to see the king. But wait, alright? Something very interesting when she see the king. Remember, the king planned to give her half the kingdom. Now, if I'm Esther, and the king is willing to meet me and give me such a good request, what will you do? My first response will be, King, do you know what Haman is doing? Right, naturally, that will be your first response. You will say to the king immediately to expose the plan of Haman. But Queen Esther didn't do that. She said, King, why don't you and Haman come to my place tonight for dinner? Now, that is very, very interesting. All right, I'm trying to figure out why Esther did that. Now, I believe after some time of you know, thinking through and trying to understand what she's doing, I thought what she did was very, very wise. But this is my interpretation, all right? I believe that why Esther invited King and Aman to a place for dinner because the timing is not right yet. Because, remember, Aman is still the king's most trusted man. And also remember, she has not seen the king for 30 days. So the strategy for Esther, the first thing is to win the king's heart first. And also, at that point, I believe Aman is also among the officers. So if she makes a request, she will make the king very uncomfortable. And she didn't want to put her husband in a difficult position in front of the officers. And moreover, queen in those days is not supposed to meddle with country's affairs. But her killer weapon, I tell you what, her killer weapon is when the king asks, I will give you half the kingdom. Her reply was, join me for dinner tonight and bring Aman along. What is she doing? In other words, she's saying, you know, my king, I want nothing of your kingdom but your presence. Wow. You know, any man, okay, however hard your heart is, any woman will come to you, you know, dear, tell me what you want to buy. Any branded bags or shoes, tell me, I will buy for you. And then your wife say, you know, dear, I don't need all these things. All I want is you. Whoa, all right. I can assure you, all right, any stubborn man, all right, any kind of heart, you know, how hard your heart is, that word will definitely melt your heart. And I think that's what exactly Queen Esther did. The first queen embarrassed the king in front of all his officers. But Queen Esther honored him in front of the officers. Most importantly, she knows the king very well. The best approach, the best tactics is not confrontational, but the soft approach. Because the king was a very prideful man. Chinese they say, 吃软不吃硬, alright? So the only way to soften the heart of the king is through soft approach. And I believe that Queen Esther learned all these things from the previous queen. She learned what happened to the previous queen, and she will make sure that she will not make the same mistakes again. So Esther and Vashti's approach were very, very different. Vashti did it recklessly and disrespectfully. But Esther humbled herself before the king and honored him, even though he was not the best husband. So there are some lessons for us to learn as husband and wife today. For husband, if your wife is angry, don't just brush them off. Listen to their feeling and they will appreciate your thoughts. And for all the wives here and those who are watching online, if your husband does something unpleasant, don't expose them in public. First thing you should do is to feel their stomach and feel and speak to them privately. But husband and wife, in our communication, we must always season our words with patience and humility before we speak. So Esther waited patiently for the right time to speak. And when the king heard from her everything about Aman's plan, he was so angry that he ordered his people to hang him on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. What an ironic. When you have God with you, He is able to clear the road for you to follow. When you have God with you, the favor of God upon you, He's able to clear whatever obstacles in front of you for you to follow. Queen Esther, Mordecai, and the Jews, they were so close to die at the hand of Aman. Can you imagine? They're going to die because the king has given the decree for Aman to kill them. Can you imagine at that point? But as they humble themselves and seek the Lord, God is able to turn the situation around and save His people. Who is your Aman today? Who is your Aman today? When Esther knew about Aman's plan, she didn't step back and do nothing. Instead, even she was threatened by risking her own life, Esther took the courage to confront her enemy. You know, our enemy always wants to put us down, to put you away so that you cannot fulfill the purpose of God. But I feel today God is saying to you, you need to rise up and face your Amans in life. Took up the courage and face your Aman in life. And remember, the one who is in you is able to overcome the one in the world. So today, if you are in fear, your Aman is fear, you are threatened by the circumstances, I sense the Lord is saying to you, the way to overcome your fear today is to pray for courage and step up and face your Aman. And you will realize that God is already there waiting for you, and He will keep your path straight. Keep the road clear for you to follow. So I do not know what is your fear today. Maybe your fear is unknown. Fear of COVID, fear of people, fear of your future, fear of not able to meet your boss' expectation, fear that you cannot accomplish your work on time, fear of your marriage, your relationship is breaking down, fear of your children's future. Will they follow God? Fear of sickness. Maybe some of us. Fear of Jurong's Macedonia call. Maybe some of us, as what Pastor Daniel challenged us. Maybe some of us, you are called to come out, step out, to serve full time, but fear is holding you back. May I say to you today, overcome your fear by praying for courage to face your Aman. Pray that God will give you the courage, that you will not retreat from Aman, but God will give you His courage and power to step up and face your Aman so that God can fulfill His purpose in your life. As how He had fulfilled Esther from a nobody to become a queen. And I say that to you, that all of you here, God has a purpose for your life. To glorify His name, to make known so that God will be known. So I do not know what is your fear today, but I want you to know, and I want to encourage you, if you have to fear something, then fear God who is able. I want to say a word of encouragement to you, and maybe a prophetic word for you who are probably, you are going through some kind of challenge today. I want to say this word to you prophetically, and listen to this word. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So because God is able, pray for courage, face your Aman, continue to do good, be gentle with others, and show all humility to those you are working with and serving. So may I invite you to stand with me as we come to a close. Are you ready to step out of the boat? Are you ready to step out of the boat when Jesus calls you? You know, every sermon, I will teach you some Hokkien to bring home. So what is the Hokkien word for this season? Listen carefully. Uya so bing kia. Turn to your neighbor and say, Uya so bing kia. That means when you have Jesus, you don't have to be afraid. Amen. Let's give a Lord a cloud offering, alright? I do not know what is your situation, but I just want you to know, when you have Jesus in your heart, you don't have to be afraid anymore. put your trust in Him, walk with Him, grow in your relationship with Him, learn from Him. I can assure you, the Lord will keep your road clear for you to follow Him. Amen? Amen. Let's deep down our hearts right now as I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us in a time of praise and worship. Let us deep down our hearts and declare who our God is. That our God is able. Amen. Offering, hallelujah, praise you, O God. You know, my friends, before you go, Pastor share with us about the water, the boat, and Peter. You know, the first step is the hardest steps, because when you look at the water, there are a lot of things in your mind, and the first step is always take a lot of courage. But I want to say to you, I think this is what the Lord is saying to us: as you take the first step on the water, you'll realize that God has already enabled you to walk on that water. Pray for courage to take the first steps. I want to encourage you, how do we take the first step? Say in your heart, I have overcome in our Lord Jesus. I have overcome in Christ. And then by faith, take your first step. Amen. Father, Lord, we thank you for your words this afternoon. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, it doesn't matter where are we right now, whatever situation we are in right now, Lord. There's no circumstances there's no situation that is so bad, oh God, that Lord, that you're not able to overcome them. But Father, I pray this afternoon that the spirit of courage will fill our hearts. Lord, give us the faith to speak their words, the word of courage to say to our soul that in Jesus' name, I have overcome. That I will make my first steps, Lord, on that rough water. Not because I can, but because you are able to. And as I take my first step, oh God, keep my eyes on you. Lord, keep my eyes on you so that you may fulfill your purpose as how you fulfill Queen Esther's purpose in her life. That Lord, that we too, oh God, surrender ourselves to you, whether it's at home, at our workplace. Father, fulfill your purpose in our life so that your name will be glorified and be known by many. So may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the grace of His Spirit be with us all and evermore. Amen. Amen. Let's give a Lord a clap offering, and service is over. See you next week.